Realizing I wasn't going to elaborate, he shifted gears.
And what about me now?
What do you mean?
Do you think I love you?
I hesitated before answering. I think you want to love me, I answered as honestly as I could. I think Morgan's vision convinced you that you're going to love me, but I think you're still confused.
Confused about what?
About how you feel? About Nikki? I added, cursing her name as it cut through my lips. You have history, that much is obvious. But for some reason or another, you keep going back to her, and I think that says a lot.
She's a friend, nothing else. You're reading too much into it.
Maybe, I shrugged. Maybe not. All I know is that's the way I feel about it, and I can't change that.
I don't know what to say to get it through to you. I don't have feelings for Nikki.
His gaze shifted to the school building behind us.
I'm not sure I ever did,
he added with a slow, regretful blink. What do you mean?
What do you think I mean?
He shot back, uncrossing his arms.
What I feel for you, right here, right now, I didn't feel even half of that the entire time I was with her.
He took a purposeful step towards me, putting himself in my line of fire so that I had nowhere to aim my eyes but at him. My breath caught in my throat.
I want to be with you, Gemma. Only you,
he said, with enough heat in his eyes to melt an ice age.
If it's time you want, then I'll give it to you. But sooner or later, you're going to run out of excuses.
The words resonated in my ears as he took a slow step backwards and then took off for his car, leaving me in the parking lot with an echo of his words in my head and a raging fire in my heart. 19. The Breakfast Club. The rain picked up where it left off this afternoon, slicing across Trace's windshield like plummeting axes as we pulled up to Huntington Manor later that evening. I felt my pulse hasten at the sight of the looming house and what awaited me inside. And even though that small voice at the back of my mind kept screaming for me to turn around and go home, I didn't dare utter the words aloud. The truth was right there within my reach, and I was determined to grab it with both hands, no matter how thorny or agonizing it may be. We climbed out of his Mustang and hurried up the water-slicked front steps. Fearing he would change his mind, I decided not to call Dominic ahead of time and let him know that there'd been a change in the guest list. Of course, now that we were here, it only made me more nervous to face him.
Are you sure he's home? Asked Trace as he pounded his fist against the front door.
He crossed his arms over his chest and waited.
He's probably out chasing down a snack.
Shush, I said, worried that Dominic, with his near-perfect hearing, would overhear him and end this before it even had a chance to get started. The door swung open just as Trace was about to bang on it for a third time.
That'll suffice, Romeo. Thank you for alerting my entire neighborhood to your presence. What did you just call me?
Which begs the question, continued Dominic, ignoring Trace as he turned to me.
What, pray tell, is he doing here? What do you think I'm doing here?
Answered Trace.
Did you seriously think I would let you get within a mile of her without me there?
Heavens no.
Mocked Dominic, knowing we'd been alone together on more than one occasion already. He turned to me and smirked.
I wouldn't dream of it.
Dominic, I warned.
Yes, love?
Can we get this started, please? It's pouring rain out here, I said, hugging my arms for warmth.
Of course, Angel. Come in,
he said, stepping aside so that I could enter. As soon as I passed him, he quickly placed himself back in the doorway.
Unfortunately for you, this is a two-person party, and you're not invited.
Unfortunately for you, said Trace, shoving him out of the way. I'm not a bloodsucker, so I don't need any invitations.
He walked right on in like he owned the place. A low rumble escaped the back of Dominic's throat. It sounded a lot like a growl.
Down, dog,
said Trace absentmindedly as he inspected his surroundings. It was clear that he'd never been here before, but it didn't seem to make him nervous in the least. He shucked off his jacket and tossed it on the settee before grabbing a hold of my hand and leading us into the dimly lit house. Dominic glared at him as he picked up Trace's jacket and hung it on the coat rack. We followed the flickering light from the fireplace and walked into the study, the same room Dominic and I had previously convened in to discuss our plans. I didn't bother mentioning that part to Trace and hoped that Dominic wouldn't bring it up either.
"Real romantic," scoffed Trace, flicking on a light switch.
"Well, I do have a reputation to uphold," answered Dominic as he poured himself a drink, probably a double.
"As what?"
laughed Trace, taking a seat on the sofa closest to the fireplace.
"A douchebag?"
"Trace, don't," I warned.
"I'm fairly certain you already have that category covered," replied Dominic. "I'm fairly certain you should watch your mouth if you know what's good for you."
"Tisk, tisk. Threatening a revenant in his own home," sneered Dominic.
"I suppose your premature age and subpar aptitude prevent you from knowing any better." "But it doesn't prevent me from shoving my foot up your ass," retorted Trace.
"Ugh!" I threw my head back and flopped down onto the sofa. This was going to be even worse than I anticipated.
"You look stressed, Angel. Would you care for a drink?" asked Dominic, turning his attention to me.
"Enough with the pet names," warned Trace,
clearly irritated by Dominic's terms of endearment for me. Undaunted, Dominic's stare remained fixed on me.
"Love?"
he asked again, and I quickly shook my head.
"I said stop calling her that shit!"
"Or what?"
Dominic chuckled as he picked up his drink and walked over to where we were sitting, his eyes darkening with menacing shadows.
"I could dismember your body in 2 flat seconds,
he informed, his lips curling up on one side as he sat down in the chair across from us. Trace leaned forward, propping his elbows on his knees as he stared him down.
"I'd really like to see you try, dead boy."
"All right, enough!" I yelled, shooting up to my feet like a Pop-Tart. "Both of you need to just shut up!" Caught off guard by my eruption, they both sunk back in their seats and stared up at me in surprise. "I came here for one reason, and it's not to listen to the two of you bicker back and forth with each other." With furrowed brows, Trace stretched his arm along the back of the sofa and looked up at me intensely, almost as though he were seeing me for the first time. Dominic swiveled his drink around his glass, a mindless gesture, though his eyes were also pinned on me with great interest. Apparently, the floor was mine. "Look, we're on the same side," I started, bouncing glances between the two of them. "We all want to know what I am, what my blood can do, so either we work together and get this done, or you two can stay here and argue and I'll go figure this out on my own."
"That needn't be necessary, Angel," said Dominic, taking a sip of his drink. "I'm sure we can find a way to work in peace."
"Good." I turned to Trace expectantly. He held my gaze for a few seconds, his jaw muscles ticking as he considered my request, and then tipped his head once in agreement.
"Whatever you want."
"Great," I nodded, pleased with my efforts. "Now that it's settled, let's move on to what we came here to do."
"All right," agreed Trace.
"Excellent," said Dominic, with a devious smile playing across his lips. "I think that's a fine suggestion."
My eyes veered to his mouth. Mesmerized by the shiny glint of his teeth, a rush of anxiety barreled through me as I realized those very same teeth would soon be piercing holes through my skin. Any minute now, I was going to willingly feed my blood to a murderous revenant, offering myself up to him like some cheap date, and then hope to God that he didn't tear my head clean off my neck as a thank you. There was absolutely no turning back now, and all I could think was, what the hell did I just get myself into? 20. Death Wish.
"I propose we do this precisely as it occurred with Angel," suggested Dominic.
"No way," said Trace vehemently. "You're not putting your fangs anywhere near her."
His body arched forward in a threatening way as he narrowed his eyes at Dominic.
I know what you're trying to do, and it's not going to happen.
What are you talking about? My gaze bounced to Dominic and then back to Trace. What is he trying to do?
He's trying to strengthen the blood bond, the connection you have.
Trace's jaw muscles pumped in frustration as he glared at Dominic.
He has to bite you to do that.
I didn't know much about how blood bonds worked, only that it took longer for the connection to form between revenants and descendants, as opposed to humans and revenants, which was almost an instantaneous connection.
Nonsense, said Dominic. I simply want to make the trial as effective as possible.
He slumped back in his chair and crossed his legs.
We need to recreate that night using the exact same variables. Otherwise, the outcome could potentially be skewed, and this whole thing will be for nothing.
It won't be skewed, answered Trace, turning to me.
We'll make a small incision on your hand and let the blood drip out from there. He can drink it from a glass, or whatever the hell he drinks his blood from.
I shook my head. He's right, Trace. Angel didn't drink my blood from a cup. He bit me. We have to recreate that night exactly as it happened. Fear trickled into my bloodstream as I said the words, but I refused to let it affect me. I was determined to find out the truth, no matter how scary or unsettling it was. He started to protest, but I quickly overruled him. It's not your choice, Trace. This is the way I want it. He exhaled his frustration and rose to his feet. Reaching into his back pocket, he pulled out a sharp wooden stake, placed it down on the table, and then glowered across at Dominic.
One wrong move, and this isn't coming out, he warned him, his eyes darkening into a deeper shade of blue.
As steady as his voice had been, I could see the trepidation in his eyes. It was written all over his face. I couldn't imagine having to sit by and watch the person you cared about try their luck at a dance with the devil himself.
Sure thing, Romeo.
Dominic rested his drink down on the coffee table and stood up. A wicked grin played on his lips as he walked over to where I was standing. Contrary to Trace, he appeared to be the pillar of calmness when he stopped in front of me and tilted his head to the side.
Do you have any preference, love?
He asked, his eyes filled with desire as they traveled down the length of my neck. My mouth had gotten so dry I wasn't even sure I could talk, so I didn't.
Perhaps a spot you prefer,
he continued when I didn't answer. His dark eyes gleamed as they met mine. I shook my head rigidly. I don't care where you do it. Just do it. I reached back and gathered my hair, pulling it to the side as my eyes remained fixed on his.
As you please, he said,
bowing his head as though he were about to bestow the greatest gift I'd ever received. His hand came up to my neck and gently moved a leftover strand of hair from my neck, causing a strange tingle to slide down my back. I quickly straightened my back, toughening my resolve. His grin widened as though he knew his touch had affected me. Circling his arm around my waist, he tugged me forward, and I gasped as my hips collided with his. Trace made a displeased grunt from over Dominic's shoulder, but I couldn't see his face from where I stood. And I didn't want to. I didn't want to have to face the hurt and worry and melancholy I knew I would find there. Dominic's other hand came back up along my arm, slowing down when he reached my neckline, and then coming to a full stop at my face. Turning his hand over, he brushed the back of his knuckles against my cheek, soft and unhurried, as though he wanted to savor every moment. My eyes slipped shut. As quickly as I resigned myself to the darkness, I was forced to face the light again at the sound of his fangs protracting. He paused for a split second, almost as though he were giving me a chance to change my mind. Or maybe he was just waiting for the fear to start coursing through my blood. Maybe he liked it better that way. Gripping my jaw, he turned my head to the side and mapped his path to my neck. My heart was pounding hard in my chest now. My mind screaming at me to abort this baleful quest, but I didn't move a single muscle. I had already made the decision long before I ventured out here.
Hold on tight, my love, he said, speaking to my mind.
I closed my eyes and braced myself.
21. Love bites.
The scorching ache I felt from Dominic's teeth piercing through my skin left me almost as quickly as it came, leaving in its place feelings of a placated euphoria. Everything that had been plaguing my mind, all the grief and fear and burden, seemed to just crumble away to a place I was no longer connected to. In the back of my mind, I knew it was wrong to feel this way. I knew I should have been trying harder to fight against the takeover, but the contempt I felt for myself quickly slipped away to the same place where all my other bad thoughts had gone. His venom coursed through my blood like an antidote, remedying everything that it touched. He'd become my medicine, my newfound cure, and I held on to him tighter because of it. It didn't matter that my thoughts were spinning almost as fast as the room was, or that my knees felt as though they would buckle beneath me. I needed to give more. Not because he needed it, which I knew by the fervor of which he drank from me that he did, but because I needed it. I needed to be in Dominic's arms for as long as my body could stand it. He bit down harder into my neck, sinking his fangs as deep as they could go, drawing my blood out in heaps that could not be naturally replenished. But none of that mattered to me anymore. All I could think about was more, as I whimpered into him with want.
"That's enough," I heard Trace say from a distance, but it only made me clasp onto Dominic harder.
I knew he wasn't going to stop. He couldn't, and this time, I didn't want him to. Black spots began filling my vision, and I welcomed the blackness with open arms. Whatever it took to stay in this rapture, to stay in his arms, I was willing to embrace it.
"I said that's enough!" snapped Trace as he yanked Dominic off of me and thrust him back several steps.
He stumbled into the coffee table. "Wait," I cried, trying to reach out to him, to reach out for more. But my legs quickly gave out on me, causing me to tumble forward into Trace's arms instead. Dominic sighed as he dropped back onto the sofa with his arms and legs spread out wide and his mouth painted in shades of my blood.
"You are heaven incarnate, Angel."
I could almost smell the salty, metallic taste of blood in the air. My blood. And it made my head swim. Trace tightened his hold on me.
"Are you all right?" he asked, his intense blue eyes running rampant all over my face as he inspected me.
My eyes fluttered open. I couldn't seem to focus.
"You need to lie down,"
said Trace, scooping me up into his arms and then carrying me over to the sofa where Dominic was sprawled out.
"Move,"
he ordered him. Dominic got up clumsily and staggered across to the other side of the room before flopping down into the chair he'd been sitting on earlier.
"Talk to me, Gemma. Are you okay?"
Trace asked me again, but I didn't answer. I couldn't seem to put words together anymore. All I could think about was the emptiness I now felt without Dominic's vitriol.
"You took too much,"
thundered Trace, his eyes reduced to angry slits of vengeance. In the blink of an eye, he was gone from my sight, vanishing and then reappearing in front of Dominic with the wooden stake in his hand and one goal in his mind. Grabbing at the sofa, I tried to pull myself up to see, to stop him, but I was too weak to hold myself up. In the split second that it took for me to tumble back into my resting place, Trace's arm was in the air, slicing through it like a bat out of hell as he plunged the stake into Dominic's chest. It all happened so fast. And then, just like that, everything came to a screeching halt. The seconds ticked by maddeningly as I struggled to see the aftermath.
"I don't believe it,"
said Trace, taking two slow steps back as he looked down at Dominic in horror. My eyes snapped to Dominic. He was sitting contently, smiling up at Trace with the wooden stake still protruding from his chest like some macabre fashion accessory.
"How the hell is this possible?"
asked Trace, his scrutinizing eyes never leaving Dominic. It was clear he'd never seen anything like this before.
"It appears our little temptress here is quite special," said Dominic as he pulled the stake out of his heart and tossed it onto the coffee table.
He smiled over at me like I was God's gift to the world. The Revenant world, that is. Trace's face contorted with apprehension. I couldn't even begin to imagine what he was thinking, what he was feeling. Would he still look at me the same after what he saw? Or would he now see me as some abomination that needed to be exterminated? Trace picked up the steak from the table and inspected it. After a short pause, he shook his head.
It's not wood. It has to be synthetic, he decided,
even though he was the one who brought it here. He was grasping at straws now, trying to make sense out of the nonsensical. And who could blame him?
It's wood, said Dominic confidently, and then stood up. Find yourself another one if you need to, but I assure you, the result will be the same, he added,
dusting off his pants and then inspecting the thin tear in his shirt from where the stake had entered. His eyes snapped to me.
I wouldn't do that just yet, Angel.
Trace's eyes darted over to me as I tried righting myself on the couch.
Gemma, you need to lie down,
he said, rushing to my side. He tried to force me back into a reclining position, but I pushed his hands away. I'm fine, I said, sitting myself up. Okay, so I wasn't exactly fine, but good health was a luxury I didn't have right now. I needed to snap out of this daze and start gathering information.
You're looking a little pallid, love. Would you care for a sip of my blood?
Offered Dominic with a puckish smile on his lips.
I'm told it's a wonderful pick-me-up.
Yeah, I'm sure it's peaches and cream. I'll pass, I said, rubbing my temples with my fingers as if to coax away the disturbing image. I couldn't even stomach tasting my own blood, let alone someone else's.
Very well, it's your loss.
Trace said something back to him, but I wasn't paying attention to either of them anymore. Everything was starting to come back to me now, including the part of myself that had slipped away from me. My head was still pounding harder than a tribal drum, but I knew I had to keep going. I had to stay focused. I sucked in a breath and buried my discomfort. We need to move on to the next part of the plan.
And what would that be exactly?
Asked Trace, his eyes never straying from mine. He looked down at me strangely, his eyebrows pulled together in curiosity like I was some odd new species from a faraway realm. We need to figure out how long this lasts and what it's protecting him from. You know more than I do about what can harm a revenant. Sun, fire, holy water, silver, whatever we can get our hands on. We need to test all of it, I explained, tucking my hair behind my ears. And we need to do it again and again until the effects wear off. I needed to know exactly what kind of a time frame we were working with, especially since I was about to go up against Angel, who had previously ingested a fairly large amount of my blood. Both of them stared at me, speechless. Well, what are you waiting for? I asked, looking at both of them expectantly. We don't have all night. As if on cue, they both looked at each other and then did exactly as I told them, heading off in different directions to retrieve the objects needed. Pulling myself up from the sofa, I glanced around the room at what my life had become. Vampires, wooden stakes, blood, carnage, death. It was nothing like what I'd dreamed of when I was a little girl, what I had hoped for myself growing up. But it was the only life I had, and it was mine. The days of waiting around for someone else to ride in and save the day for me were over. People couldn't be trusted. They lied. They cheated. And then when everything you were and hoped to be shattered apart into a million pieces, they left. But not this time. This time, I was going to save myself. And maybe, just maybe, the world too. We spent the rest of the night running countless experiments on Dominic, which basically consisted of stabbing him in the heart with wooden stakes, dousing his body in a slew of fluids, and branding his skin with different metals, all of which brought an immense amount of pleasure to Trace. It took several hours of repeating the same tests over and over again before Dominic was finally incapacitated.
Think we should leave him like that?
Suggested Trace. A mischievous grin appeared on his lips. Very funny, I said as I walked over to Dominic's dormant body. The snowy white tint to his skin had evaporated from his face, leaving in its place a desiccated shade of gray as dull and gloomy as the Hollow Hills firmament. I reached down and pulled the stake out. Within seconds, the sickly gray color dissipated from his face, and the smooth, milky texture returned. I held my breath and waited, releasing it only when his eyes snapped open. "Welcome back," I said wryly.
"Thank you, Angel,"
he said, shifting in the lounge chair. He reached up and rubbed his palm over the entry wound.
"Time?"
I glanced at the clock on the wall and calculated how long it took to incapacitate him. "A little over 2 hours." Trace joined us.
"So what now?"
he asked, crossing his arms over his chest.
"Is that it?"
"We have to repeat the test,"
answered Dominic.
"For what?"
bellowed Trace, his disapproval written all over his face.
"We need to discern whether the amount of blood I drank played a role in how long I remained indestructible,"
he said, reaching forward for his drink. I swallowed hard at the thought of having to go another round with Dominic. Not because I was afraid I wouldn't be able to withstand it, which was a pretty good possibility, but because I was afraid of further strengthening the blood bond between us. Already, as it was, I felt an uncomfortable pull towards him, a softening of my heart where he was concerned. I didn't want to feel this way, but it seemed to be out of my control, and letting Dominic drink from me again would only further loosen the flailing grip I had over myself. I pulled in a sobering breath and reminded myself that this wasn't about what I wanted or what I was afraid of. I had to find out if the amount of blood consumed was a factor or not, even if it was at the expense of myself. And there was only one way to do that. "He's right," I said, nodding my head in agreement with Dominic as I buried the doubt and hesitation deeper inside of me. "We have to keep going."
"It's not happening,"
said Trace, steadfast. His eyes were hard and unwavering, daring one of us to try and change his mind.
"You've had enough for one night. I'm taking you home,"
he continued, picking up my hand like I belonged to him. "We can't stop now, Trace. We're too close."
"No. We're done,"
he quickly cut in over me.
"We did this your way all night, Gemma, and now it's time to go."
Remarking the crossed look on my face, he softened his tone and tried to reason with me.
"Look, you already lost a lot of blood. You need to rest. You're no good to anyone if you're dead. We can finish this another day."
I suppose he had a point, what with him being all level-headed and whatnot. "Maybe you're right," I said with a shrug, and then turned back to Dominic. A peculiar pang of disappointment passed through me. "We'll finish this tomorrow, okay?" His dark eyes were fixed on me in a barring way, a way that made it seem as if he knew my inner thoughts, my newfound cravings.
"As you wish, Angel,"
he said, bowing his head. Had his voice always sounded so smooth?
"I'll come back later for my car,"
announced Trace, though Dominic didn't take his eyes off me, nor did I take mine from his.
"Come on,"
said Trace, his voice a quiet struggle against the connection. He squeezed my hand and began drawing me closer to him, slow and uneven, like dragging a block of concrete. My eyes shifted back to Trace's, and I winced at what I found in them. Hurt and worry coated his features like a new skin as he stared down at me questioningly. He felt the hesitation, the pullback, and God only knows what he saw and heard tonight. My heart throbbed with guilt. A forced smile sprouted on his lips as he softly shook his head as if to tell me it wasn't my fault. But I knew that it was.
"Oh, and Gemma?"
called Dominic as Trace circled his arms around my waist. "Yeah?" I answered, my eyes finding him easily.
"Sweet dreams," he purred.
And with that, Trace and I were gone. 22. Heart to Heart. The familiar setting of my room materialized around me as the frigid cold slowly dissipated from my bones. Trace's arms were still wrapped tightly around my waist, encasing me in the warmth of his body. As we stood there holding each other, neither one of us moving an inch. In that moment, it was exactly what I needed. I needed his warmth to bring me back from the brink, to remind me of who I was again.
"I'll always be here to bring you back," he said,
his words resonating with layered meaning. He dropped a kiss on the top of my head and stepped back from me tentatively. I looked down at my shoes, because honestly, after tonight, I was too ashamed to look him in the eye.
"How are you feeling?"
he asked after a little while, his poignant eyes sweeping over me like cobalt stardust. "Tired," I said, shrugging my shoulder. "My mind feels like it's racing 100 miles a minute." Taking a few steps back, I sat down on the edge of my bed and combed my fingers through my hair. I doubt I'm going to get much sleep tonight. And it probably wasn't such a bad thing either, I thought. He looked uneasy.
"Is there anything I can do?"
I shook my head and smiled at him. "You've already done more than enough. Thank you for everything tonight." Smiling, he buried his hands in his pockets and glanced over his shoulder.
"I guess I should take off then,"
he said, ticking his chin towards the door.
"Let you get some rest."
Dread rolled through my stomach at the thought of being alone with myself. "Wait," I said, springing to my feet as he turned for the door. Afraid of what or whom I would see tonight once I closed my eyes. "Don't go yet." His eyes ran down the length of my body and then back up again, assessing me, trying to figure me out. "Please?"
"Okay,"
he said softly, nodding as understanding flickered through his eyes.
"I'll stay as long as you want me to."
He pulled out the desk chair and took a seat across from me as if to prove his promise was more than just words. Feeling reassured that he wasn't going anywhere, I released my breath and sat back down on my bed. "I won't keep you long. I don't want to be alone right now." His eyebrows pulled together in quiet reflection. It made me nervous when he looked at me that way, like he could see right through to the core of who I really was.
"It's just the blood bond,"
he said after a short pause. It was as though he could read what was plaguing my mind without having to touch me.
"Whatever you're feeling for him, it isn't real, Gemma."
"I know," I said, but it was weak and unconvincing. I stared down at the wooden floor, sweeping my feet back and forth like an antsy child.
"Hey."
He leaned over and picked up my chin.
"It'll fade with time, I promise."
"I know," I said again. But the truth was, I wasn't sure of anything anymore, least of all blood bonds and how they worked.
"Do you want to talk about it?"
I shook my head, unsure of where to begin. I don't even know who I am anymore. I don't even know if the things I'm feeling are my feelings or something else.
"Like the blood bond," he said, watching me carefully.
I nodded. "I think it's starting to mess with my head." Slipping into the spot beside me on my bed, he stared forward, thinking.
"Is it messing with us?"
he asked quietly without meeting my gaze. "No, of course not." I didn't hesitate because it was the truth. The feelings I had for Trace were real, and they hadn't changed. He was a permanent fixture in my mind, an eternal staple of my heart. But somehow, Dominic had begun to creep through the reedy borders of my subconscious, scratching at the walls to find a place. And even though I knew what I was feeling for him wasn't real, that it was fleeting and fabricated and forced upon me, it still didn't stop it from being so.
"I miss you, you know,"
he said, turning to meet my eyes. His jaw tightened as though he were working hard to keep all the things he wanted to say at bay. "I'm sitting right here."
"That's not what I meant."
There was a tortured sadness in his eyes that hadn't always been there. It broke my heart to think that I had a hand in putting it there, that I caused him this hurt. My small smile faded away. As much as I wanted to give myself to him, to throw myself down at his altar, I wasn't entirely sure I had anything good to offer him anymore. So much of who I was had become lost, diluted, fragmented. I was being pulled and stretched in every which way, dragged in a million directions, with the expectations of the world sitting heavy on my center like a concrete paperweight I couldn't shake off. What exactly did I have to offer him? A blood bond? A missing best friend? A troubled past?
A hopeless future? Angel? Everything that touched me was necrotic. Everything that came into my life withered away and died. I didn't want to do that to him. He was ineffably perfect, just the way he was. An enigma filled with both fire and ice that could send my heart into free fall with a simple shift of his eyes. He was the sun and the earth and everything beautiful in between them. I couldn't take the risk of destroying even a sliver of that, the way I destroyed everything else. I lowered my head in defeat. I don't want to hurt you.
Then don't hurt me,
he said calmly, as though it were that simple. It's not always something I can control, I pointed out, meeting his curious eyes. I'm like some big, horrible plague that just infects everything it touches. He laughed as though I'd said something funny.
You're not a plague, Gemma.
I'm serious, Trace. I bring death and destruction wherever I go. I need to be exterminated, I blurted out, tears distorting my vision as they threatened to spill over in spite of me. I was fighting them back so hard it was making my chin quiver. Even my stupid blood is defective.
Come on, don't say that,
he said, wrapping his arm around my shoulder.
We don't know anything yet. I'll be okay.
How do you figure? I don't exactly have the best track record for things working out in my favor. I shook my head in despair. I'm an abomination, Trace. It's as simple as that.
No, you're not. We might not have all the answers yet, but I know there isn't a bad bone inside of you.
He picked up my chin again, forcing me to look at him when I tried to turn away.
You're not an abomination, Gemma. Not even close.
What would you call it then, huh? What the hell am I? I asked, water trickling down my cheeks in fat, pitiful streaks.
You're everything that's right in this world,
he answered without hesitation.
You're kind and beautiful and selfless. You're the only reason I fight for my future,
he added quietly, wiping away my tears with his thumb.
Kind of like the rainbow that comes after a storm.
Yeah, right, I said, snorting through my sobs. How he was able to find any semblance of good in this was beyond me.
If you could see what I see, you would know the answer to that,
he replied, his voice a heartwarming murmur. I don't deserve to hear you say these things to me. All I've done is push you away. I closed my eyes, guilt-ridden by the way I've been treating him lately.
Lucky for you, I don't give up that easy.
His dimples blinked at me like a promise of eternal love.
Besides, I know where your heart is.
Yeah, and where is that? I tested.
With me.
His voice was deep and brimming with confidence.
And with Taylor.
Hearing her name strangled my heart.
I know you don't want to let yourself feel happiness while she's still out there hurting. It's who you are, Gemma, and I wouldn't change it for a second. No matter how hard it is for me to hold back sometimes, I do get it.
In all my despair, it occurred to me that I must have done something right in my life to deserve him. With wilted, slow-dying petals and gruesome thorns, to him, I was still a beautiful rose worth saving, worth fighting for. I rested my head on his chest and held on to the only semblance of sun I had left in my life. The wonderful humming sensation that I'd come to know and love set sail under my skin, soothing my body and my mind as it charged through my blood. Yawning, I felt myself drift away, falling closer and closer to a dreamlike state, until my exhaustion finally closed in on me. 23. Running Scared. The blood sky stretched into the horizon like an omen of death, of carnage. I stood alone in a small clearing in the woods, my mind racing almost as fast as my heart was. There was something I was supposed to do, something I had to remember, but I couldn't work out the equation in my head no matter how hard I tried to piece it together.
A menacing shadow mingled with mine as Dominic took his place beside me. He always seemed to have a starring role in my nightmares, and this one was no exception. He stood, facing the horizon with his arm touching mine, wearing only a pair of black pants and an impish smirk on his mouth. His blonde curls looked as though they'd been dusted in pink powder, reflections from the strange red sky that poured down on us like a bloody warning.
"Come now, Angel. It's almost time," he said,
and then walked out of the clearing and into the darkened forest, melting with the shadows and trees as skeletal branches reached out to wrap him in their ominous embrace. I followed after him without any question, first running to catch up with him, and then watching hungrily as he weaved his way in and out of the brushwood, leading me deeper and deeper into the woods. I followed ravenously, hungrily, craving him and everything he may have been offering. The red sky darkened as we moved deeper into the forest, almost as though it were frowning down on our trespasses. I reached out to stop him from walking, from venturing deeper into the forbidden lands, but he mistook my gesture and spun on me. With fire in his eyes, his hands reached out for my hips, my body, holding, clutching, digging into my skin as he pulled me into the space between his arms. Icy cold kisses peppered my neck as a rush of excitement barreled through my blood. I instantly knew what was coming. I tipped my head back, surrendering all my restraint and hope. And then, just like I knew it would, the sharp, scorching pain quickly came for me. Harrowing and infinite, like death itself, it consumed my being from the deepest part of my soul right down to the flesh he was tearing into.
"Your blood is the wine."
A murder of crows cut across the red sky as blood spit out from my neck like a fiery volcano that knew no bounds, and I instantly knew. Death was knocking. I shot upright in my bed and let out a guttural scream, though the sound was quickly muffled by a hand that clamped down over my mouth.
"It's just a dream,"
whispered Trace, consoling me in the dark.
"I got you."
He slipped his arm around my back and gently laid me back down against my pillow. The room was consumed by shadows. Only a sliver of light peeked in from a slit in the curtains, but it was enough light to see Trace's face and make my hammering heart simmer down. His beautiful eyes gazed down at me, reassuring me, and instantly making everything better again. Instantly making it easy for me to forget the terror. I needed to forget. I reached up through the darkness and wrapped my arms around his neck, clasping onto him in desperation as I sealed my mouth over his and pulled him back down with me.
"Gemma,"
he groaned against my mouth, as though he thought this was a bad idea, as though he thought we should stop, but it only made me kiss him harder. He braced himself, fisting the sheets on either side of me as I deepened the kiss for the both of us. His lips were moving with mine, kissing me back, but I could feel the restraint behind them. I could taste the control he was trying to keep over himself. I moved my hands down from his face to his neck, roaming freely over the expanse of his chest and the swells of his arms. The more I touched him, the more he responded, and the more my body sizzled with electricity. I didn't want it to stop. I wanted more of it, all of it, to burn like an asteroid blazing through the atmosphere. I parted my lips and gently swept my tongue along his, daring him to let go, to give in to me. His breathing instantly turned sharper, faster, his kisses growing more urgent with every immeasurable second that ticked by us. He drew back suddenly, hovering above me as he fought to hold on to what little self-control he had left. His jaw flexed furiously, hungrily, as his eyes filled up with unbridled want. And then, as easy as flicking off a light switch, the restraint was gone. I felt him shift above me as his knee came up and eased my legs apart, his gaze never leaving mine. My breath caught in my throat as he laid himself back down on me, resting his body in the uncharted space between my hips. His mouth found mine again, and he kissed me fiercely, filling me with a surge of emotions that made my body tremor in response. Excitement, fear, anticipation,
exhilaration, curiosity, each one hitting me in waves as they funneled through my body like exotic spices I'd never tasted. There was something in the air, something between us, like a tonic that neither one of us could turn down. And I didn't want to turn it down. I wanted to indulge in its sap and let it take me to that beautiful place where only he and I existed. He was the antidote to my deepest, darkest nightmare. The answer to my prayers. Nothing could touch me here. Not my pain or heartbreak or inadequacy. Not the council or uncle or angel. Not even Dominic and his daunting blood bond could reach me here. Here, I was untouchable. I held on to him tighter, digging my nails into his skin as he trailed a stream of kisses along my jaw and then down to the space below my ear. His hands moved to my side, clutching my hips, and then my waist as his thumbs grazed along the flimsy hem of my skirt. Taking the fabric in his hands, he pulled it up, slowly, achingly slow, memorizing the lands of my body as he explored every hill and groove beneath my shirt. His warm hands and soft lips brushed against my abdomen in tandem, peppering my skin with caresses that made my stomach tighten and my toes curl. He was a god fit for a throne, and every touch reaffirmed his status as he skirted me closer and closer to the brink. I arched my head back and called out his name like a prayer. He quickly slid back up my body, pressing his lips against mine to keep me contained, to keep me from free-falling into oblivion. I couldn't get enough of him, of his lips, his hands, the way his body molded itself against mine. I was teetering on the edge of insanity, and every cell in my body was screaming for me to jump.
"I'm crazy about you, Gemma."
His breath was silky and sweet as melted sugar.
"I can't get you out of my head. You're the only thing I think about anymore."
And now I was free-falling. I pulled his shirt up over his head, surprising myself at how easily I accomplished the feat. His skin was scorching hot to the touch, his chest rising and falling almost as quickly as mine was. Our want for each other had reached new levels. It was palpable, undeniable. Cupping my face, he lowered his head again and pressed his lips against mine. Only this time, his kisses were softer, slower, measured touches that made me ignite from within, made my entire body shake with an appetite I couldn't define or describe or decipher. It was all too much, yet nowhere near being enough. I'd never felt anything like this in my entire life, and it made me tremble from the inside out. He pulled back suddenly and looked down at me. His eyes were filled with so much fire that for a second I thought surely it was my own reflection being mirrored back to me.
"You've done this before, right?"
he asked me, gazing down at me as he studied my reaction. My heart started beating faster, louder, so loud that I was sure he could hear it too. I shook my head. The mere seconds felt like hours before he said anything.
"Are you sure you want to do this?"
he asked, his eyes gleaming as they stripped me down to my soul, discovering, uncovering, listening in for the smallest hint of uncertainty. Tomorrow was promised to no one, least of all to me. All I had was this moment with Trace, and in this moment, everything was perfect. I couldn't bear to let it go, to fall back into my living nightmare. "Yes," I rasped as I swallowed the finality of it all, the no-going-backness. "I want to." Silence. "Don't you want to?" He laughed quietly, all deep and gruff and sexy. The sound of it sent a shiver through my body.
"You have no idea how bad I want to," he said,
teasing me with his perfectly timed dimples. "So, you want to, and I want to." I started to pull him back down to me, but he stopped us again. More silence. "What's wrong? Why do you keep stopping?" I asked, confused by his obvious reluctance. He hesitated before answering.
"I just want it to be, you know."
He licked his lips as he stared down at mine. My eyebrows rose. Good? You're scared it won't be good? He laughed again.
No, I'm not worried about that, he said with a kind of cockiness that made me want to put him to the test. I meant special. I wanted to be special.
Oh. I smiled up at him, at his sweetness. It will be, I decided, circling my arms around his neck. It's me and you, Trace. He nodded as though he agreed, yet he still wasn't moving. Something else? I asked, growing increasingly impatient with his extended timeouts.
I don't know,
he said, shrugging as though it weren't weighing heavily on him, but his pensive eyes told an entirely different story.
Shouldn't there be, like, flowers or candles or something?
For me or you?
Gemma.
I laughed. I don't know, is that the rule? I asked sarcastically, though he didn't find it amusing. I'm not really a flowers and chocolate kind of girl, Trace. I don't need all that stuff. Besides, who knew if I would get another chance? I wanted to seize the day, the moment, carpe diem and all that crap.
No one needs that stuff, he said softly. But I still think you deserve it.
I could see the struggle in his face, the warring emotions in his eyes. And then the forfeiture as he pulled away completely and sat back down on the edge of my bed, just out of my reach. Well, that de-escalated quickly. I yanked up my sheet and covered myself before propping my back against the headboard.
I want to do this right, Gemma.
He pushed his fingers through his ebony hair and looked down at me.
And I want to do it for the right reason.
Something about the way he said it made me pause. What is the right reason?
Because you love me. Not because you're scared, or you might not get another chance, or because you want to prove the blood bond isn't affecting you.
I lowered my eyes, realizing he'd heard me. It's not the only reason, I defended.
I know, but it's a part of it. And I guess I'm not okay with that.
I didn't mean for it to seem that way. I turned away from the heaviness of his downcast eyes. I just wanted to feel like myself again, to have one normal night where the weight of the world wasn't sitting on my shoulders. He placed his hand on my leg, calling back my attention.
It won't always be that way.
I gave him a doubtful look.
I'll make sure of it, he promised. I'll take the world apart for you and put it back together again if I have to.
I smiled at him as I remembered what future Trace had said, the vow he made to me that day in my room. He reached over and grabbed a hold of my hips, pulling me across the bed to him.
Besides, when we do decide to do it, he said,
moving a strand of hair from my eyes.
It'll be a lot of things, but normal won't be one of them.
I felt the heat rush up to my cheeks as he leaned down and brushed his lips against mine. Something told me that nothing with Trace would ever feel as mundane and uneventful as normal. We spent the rest of the night alone in my room, holding each other as though we didn't know how to exist without the other. And while we both flirted on the edge of our forever, neither one of us crossed over that line again. 24. Bloodsport. I spent most of Friday evening training with Gabriel at Temple. Although I could probably think of 100 things I'd rather be doing on any given Friday night, I knew it was what I needed to be doing. The harder I trained, the better my chances were at facing off against Angel and anything else out there that meant to cause me or the people I loved harm. Gabriel seemed to be impressed with how well things were progressing. I could tell that he sensed a shift in my attitude and that I was finally taking my training seriously.
Nice takedown,
he said, complimenting me after I kicked his feet out from under him and knocked him to the ground. He was sprawled out on the sparring mat and never looked prouder. Thanks. I smiled proudly and offered him my hand. He took it and hopped back up to his feet quickly, a small smile sprouting on the corner of his mouth.
You're getting stronger every day, Gemma. It's only a matter of time now.
Before what? I asked, retying my ponytail.
Before you no longer need me.
He tipped his head once, like an exclamation mark to his statement. A pang of sadness seeped into my heart at the thought of no longer having this time with Gabriel. He'd become so much more to me than just my temporary handler. He was my mentor, my friend, someone I could always count on to look out for me, to throw me over their shoulder and carry me home when I'd had too much to drink. I'm not sure I'm ready for that.
You will be,
he said with certainty.
This is what you were meant to do. Once the spell is fully broken, you will feel the pull, the call to service.
My uncle doesn't think they'll be able to break the spell without the talisman, I said, watching his expression for any clues as to what he was thinking. He said something about an ancient ritual.
Invocation.
His olive-colored eyes seemed to dim at the uttering of the word.
That bad? I haven't witnessed it personally, but I have heard rumors.
And? I was certain none of them were good. His hesitation to answer only further confirmed it for me.
From what I've heard, it's dangerous and archaic,
he finally said, sans emotion.
Frankly, I'm surprised it was even mentioned. Invocation is supposed to be a last resort.
A last resort? Archaic? My face contorted at his strange choice of words. What the hell kind of ritual is this?
The only way to invoke your abilities would be to bring you as close to death as possible,
he explained calmly, like he was teaching me how to flip a freaking pancake.
By removing the safety net entirely.
And how exactly are they going to do that? Gabriel struggled to answer.
Think one ravaged beast, one slayer to be, and a fight to the death in an arena for our personal enjoyment,
answered Julian as he tossed the magazine he was reading onto the bench. My eyes snapped back to Gabriel. He's joking, right?
Unfortunately not.
That's absurd, and I'm pretty sure it's illegal.
Human law doesn't apply to us, Gemma. Not in that way.
They don't call it an ancient ritual for nothing,
said Julian, smirking. He was getting way too much enjoyment out of this. I bet he was just dying to get himself a front row seat, hoping that maybe, just maybe, I'd get my head torn off. There's no way I'm doing that, I said, deciding to just reject the whole idea in its entirety. We need to start training harder. My uncle said it's possible to invoke my abilities on my own, so that's what we're going to do, I informed, deciding to leave out the part where he said that it wasn't very likely to happen.
Yes, it's possible, said Gabriel, his steadfast eyes fixed on me. We'd have to up the threat level significantly.
Maybe we can start training outside of Temple, I suggested. The only real way to raise the threat level was to put myself in an uncontrolled environment. I knew Gabriel would never hurt me, and that was great for our friendship and all, but it did nothing for scaring my slayer abilities out of me.
The council would have to approve it first,
he said, running a hand through his dark hair.
They'll never allow that,
sneered Julian, pleased by the rock and hard place I'd just found myself in. Well, maybe I'm not going to ask them for their permission. I turned back to Gabriel, my eyes burning with wild determination. They're not the one that has to go into the arena. I am. So shouldn't I get to make the call on this? You yourself said the whole thing was archaic. He didn't say anything, but I could see the agreement in his eyes.
It may not have to come to that, he offered instead, doing his best to keep things on a positive, rule-abiding note. The cloak is fading. Your essence is breaking through more and more every day.
My essence?
Your scent. If I can sense you, it's only a matter of time before you can sense me as well.
Really? I felt a small ray of hope ignite inside me.
It's slow moving, yes, but it is working.
I thought about it. All the more reason to step up my training then, right? Unfortunately for me, I was quickly running out of time and no longer had the luxury of letting things naturally run their course.
That does appear to be the best course of action.
So you'll talk to the council then?
You'll make them see it our way, right?
I'll get us an audience with the Magister, he conceded after a short pause. We'll present our request and take it